I want to begin this morning by reading an excerpt from a letter to the editor of a local newspaper. This is what it said. I've gone to church for 30 years now, and in that time I have heard something like 203,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So, I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. End quote. In going to church for 30 years, he never got it. Church is not to remember the sermons, because the sermons are not the subject. The subject is God and our relationship with Him. The point of sermons isn't to be remembered for 30 years. They are meant to be digested, internalized, and incorporated into our life. Going to church just to listen to sermons, it's a total waste of time. In fact, going to hear the music is a total waste of time. Going to church to see and to be seen is a waste of time. And going to church because it is the thing to do on Sunday is a waste of time. And going to church because my parents did is preposterous. Going to church for any of those reasons, total waste of time. And I would recommend that this person stop going to church immediately. It's all useless and pointless. Sleeping in on Sunday is better for you than any of those things, because hearers only deceive themselves. They hear, but it doesn't do them any good because they don't apply. And that's what James is going to talk to us about, beginning with verse 22, where we left off last time. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, the first word in verse 22 is very important. It is the word but. Yes, it's great to hear the word, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's great to hear the word with submission, great to hear the word with meekness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It is important to hear the word with purity, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. But it is never enough just to hear. It must be obeyed in life. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do you know what a person is who deceives himself? A person who deceives himself is a fool. A person who is deceived by someone else may or may not be a fool according to the circumstances in which he was deceived. But a person who deceives himself is a fool. Jesus said that. Listen, Matthew 7:26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Sometimes we are so worried about the cults deceiving us, and we're worried about false religions deceiving us. Listen, it is high time we started worrying about deceiving ourselves. Don't fool yourself. If you hear God's word, but you do not obey God's word, you, my dear friend, are a fool, according to what Jesus says. You are a foolish person. One of the things we have wrong with church people today is they come and listen. They listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, but that's where they stop. They listen to the word of God, but they do not go out and live out the word of God. Isn't it amazing how we can actually disconnect our behavior from our knowledge? We can hear something. We can even believe it. We can accept it as true and never, ever let it change our behavior. Several years back, the annual convention of the American Heart Association met in Atlanta, Georgia. That year, 300,000 doctors and nurses and researchers gathered to discuss, among other things, the importance a low-fat diet plays in keeping our hearts healthy. Well, some smart-aleck researcher did some checking around and found that during mealtimes, those people consumed fat-filled fast food, such as bacon, cheeseburgers, and fries, at about the same rate as people from other conventions. And when one cardiologist was asked whether or not his partaking in high-fat meals set a bad example, do you know what he said? He said, "Not me, because I took off my name tag." Now, that may be humorous when we are talking about doctors and researchers, but it is disheartening and incredibly damaging when we are talking about our ability to hear and accept the Word of God and yet live lives of disobedience. James says, "But be doers of the Word, not hearers only." Maybe a better understanding of what the word "hear" means will help us. It comes from the Greek word akrotes, and the word is only found two places in the New Testament, here in the book of James and also in Romans 2:13, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified." It is a word that was used to audit a course. To audit a course means that you attend the classes, you study the lessons, but it means that you don't take any of the tests. You don't get a grade. The auditor is not enrolled in the class. He's just sitting there and listening. He receives it as information. He doesn't take any tests, doesn't make any application of it, doesn't get any grade, doesn't get any reward. He's just sitting there listening. And there are a lot of spiritual auditors today. I want to audit church. I don't want to get involved. I just want to audit church. One of the dangers in a Bible-teaching church such as this is that those who hear so much would do so very little, almost substituting the hearing for the doing. James is saying, don't be an auditor. Don't just be hearers only. Now, listening to the Word, coming to church, listening to a sermon on a CD or a tape, or hearing the Bible read, all of those things are very good. But they mean absolutely nothing. Nothing unless you do what it says. You may say to your pastor on the way out of the sanctuary on any given Sunday, "Nice sermon, Pastor. Good message. Boy, you did a good job today. Thanks." But unless you do what the Word says, you have wasted your time. You have neglected the most crucial part of James' command. I was reading about a man who came late to service one Sunday morning, and by the time he got there, the people were already coming out. And as they walked out, this man said to another man that he knew who was coming out, he said, "Is the sermon done?" And the man said, "No. The sermon is preached. Now it's time for the sermon to be done." Now hear this today. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses you can quote from memory in how many different versions, including the original language. It doesn't matter how much Bible you know. Unless you are willing to personally do what it says in your daily life, it will not benefit you at all. Now, I don't know how many of you here have been to Israel. I know that some of you have. I've had the privilege, and every time we go to visit the Dead Sea. Now, the reason the Dead Sea is dead and the reason that it is called the Dead Sea is because it doesn't have any outlet. It is stagnant. And our lives can become spiritually stagnant like the Dead Sea if we only receive the Word of God and never apply it to our lives. And this has happened to so many contemporary Christians. They have become mere spectators who do enjoy listening to the Word, sermon tasters. They listen to it all the time. Their minds are filled with biblical knowledge, filled with facts. Unfortunately, that is where it stops. Oh, they know a lot of things. Their spiritual heads grow fatter and fatter, and their spiritual bodies waste away from the lack of use. Spiritual freaks, really, who are of little value to themselves, little value to the church, and little value to the world. They are deceived. Many years ago, I had several different jobs trying to work my way through college. One year, I had a job selling medical insurance. And one day, a man called the office, and he wanted someone to come out and talk to him about medical insurance. He lived way out in the country, outside of Sacramento, California, in a little old farmhouse. He hadn't told me very much about the situation, and I was just a total rookie anyway, and so I wasn't prepared at all for what I was going to see. But I have never forgotten it. I can see it vividly this morning in my mind's eye. The father called our office because he had a daughter that he loved with all of his heart. And he was having a very difficult time of getting medical insurance for her from any company. Now, they lived in just a one-room shack. Just one room. So everything was in that one room. And in the center of that room was this huge crib. He had built it himself. It took up almost half that room. And in the crib, tied to it, was his daughter. I have no idea how old she was, but her body was very small. But her head was very large. It seemed larger than the size of an adult's head. It was an unbelievable distortion. It was so sad. And over the years, I have met many Christians who have the same distortion in their spiritual life. Their spiritual heads are enlarged with biblical knowledge, which they have never put into use in their spiritual bodies. They don't put the truth of God's word into practice. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you consider yourself a friend of Jesus? You know, the answer to that really comes from the lips of Jesus. In John 15:14, he said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Do you love Jesus? I mean, do you really love him? The answer again comes from Jesus. In John 14:23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep," that is, he will do my word. Are you really sure that you know the Lord? The answer to that is in 1 John 2:3. "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Jesus also made a statement about doing the word in Luke 8:21. "But he answered and he said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." That's what James says. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." In fact, James commands it. This is a command. This is an imperative. God says, do the word. Be a doer of the word. Also, it is in the present tense, which means God commands us to constantly do the word. Be continually, constantly doing. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now, the word deceiving, paralogizomai, means to miscalculate. It means to reason wrongly. In other words, if you think that you can just hear the word without applying it, you have made a gross miscalculation. You are self-deceived. If you just audit what is being said, for instance, this morning, if you just audit it, you just hear it, but nothing really happens in your life, no result, According to the Bible, you are deceiving yourself. And I wonder how many of us go to church and we really, truly believe that because we were there and we heard the word, that somehow we are growing in the Lord. Or during the week, we listen to the radio and some of you watch what is called Christian television, and we think that we are growing in the Lord. James says, not necessarily so. He says, wait a minute, that's a great deception. We deceive ourselves. We miscalculate as to what the real key is in making a difference in our lives. Is it just hearing what somebody says? No. It's always doing it. Always. You know what I wish? I wish people would quit just listening to sermons and start living sermons. People will come up to me occasionally and say, boy, you really stepped on my toes today. And I feel like saying, well, obviously, not enough to make you dance. Peter Lord said, what we believe, we live by. The rest is just religious talk. Too many of us hear without heeding, read without responding, confess without changing, profess without practicing, worship without witnessing, and seek without sharing. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For, verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Natural there is the word Genesis, his Genesis face. That's the face you were born with. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So, to explain this deception, James gives us an analogy. He gives us, in a word picture, what he means. For, he says, or because. In other words, hearers of the word only deceive themselves, hearers of the word only deceive themselves, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that is, he takes the deceitful route, he takes the deceiving route, he is like a man observing, like someone who observes his natural face in a mirror. So James says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Did you know that the Bible has a mirror ministry? If you've ever thought about it, mirrors can be ruthless. Every mirror has three characteristics. A, mirrors don't lie. B, mirrors don't play favorites. And C, mirrors don't worry about feelings. There are two ways to see yourself. One is a photograph, and the other is a mirror. Photograph can be very, very flattering. I mean, they can really touch those things up. But a mirror is very honest. I heard about a lady who went to a photographer and had her picture taken. And when the photographer developed it and showed it to her, she said, you know, I'm really unhappy with this. She said, this picture just does not do me justice. And he said, lady, what you need is not justice. You need mercy. They can doctor a photograph up and really make you look good. You can get a glamour shot. I mean, they can really make you look good. But a mirror, there you is. Just like you is. One of the first things I do when I get up in the morning is look in the mirror. It is the most shocking time of my day. They say that beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes all the way to the bone. Mirrors are brutally honest. They reflect you exactly as you are. I read about a couple back in the 19th century that lived way up in the backwoods of West Virginia. In fact, they had never even seen the other side of the mountain that they lived on. They were very uncultured, very uncouth, to say the least. And for years, the wife had suspected that the husband had been running around on her, but she could never prove it. Well, one day, this old mountaineer found a mirror on the side of the mountain. And not knowing what it was, he picked it up and he looked at it. And he said, "Well, if it ain't my old dad. I never knew he had his picture took." Well, he just sat outside his old cabin there, and for the longest time, he was looking at what he thought was a picture of his dad. Well, finally, he set the mirror down so that he could go off to work, and his wife had been watching him the whole time. And as soon as he left, she went outside, picked up that mirror, and looked at it. And she said, "Aha! So that's the ugly old hag he's been chasing all these years." Well, unfortunately, mirrors do tell the truth. We see ourselves as we are. The Word of God does that too. We see ourselves as we are in the Word of God. If we don't do anything about it, then we're like the man who looks in the mirror. He sees what he ought to do, but he doesn't do it. He just goes and he forgets about it. For instance, he looks in the mirror, he sees that he ought to shave, but he doesn't shave. He looks in the mirror and he sees that he ought to get a haircut, but he doesn't get a haircut. Looks in the mirror, he notices that he needs to wash his face, but he doesn't do that. It is like the two young boys who were talking one day, and one said to the other, he said, "You know, I can tell you what you had for breakfast today." The other boy said, "You cannot?" He says, "You don't know that." He said, "What did I have for breakfast?" And the first boy said, "Well, that's easy. You had eggs for breakfast this morning. I see it all over your face." And the other boy said, "I did not. That's what I had yesterday." James uses a similar illustration about the Word of God. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Now, when you were in junior high, when you looked in the mirror, you would never consider not doing something about what you look like. And, I mean, just think back to those junior high years. Some of you don't have to think back very far. You probably spent an hour every morning searching your face over and over again for even the slightest hint of a pimple that you may have to cover with something or another. And what you saw in the mirror each morning greatly affected your behavior and your attitude for the entire day. For some, you would be so embarrassed about your face or your hair that you would purposefully spend the whole day facing a certain direction so that no one would notice what you thought was a major problem. In junior high, our appearances sometimes dictated our entire life, often in a negative way. But James wants us to respond to the Word the same way that we responded to our face in the mirror when we were in junior high, only in a positive way. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." The word "observes" really means that he just takes a casual glance. He gives himself a look and a promise, and he's on his way. And with the mirror no longer in front of him, immediately he forgets what kind of a man he was. The mirror showed him what he really looks like. He looked into the mirror, and he saw the brutal truth. And the Word of God will serve as a mirror to show you the brutal truth about yourself. But it will only do you some good if you apply it to your life. Now, when you read the Bible, do you see yourself? Do you see yourself in the Bible? You may not like what you see, but what you see is there. But if you don't do anything about what you see, you go away and you immediately forget what kind of a person you are, and you start miscalculating what kind of a person you really are. Let me give you an example. Earlier this morning, we read in Jeremiah 17:9 this verse, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Now, you just heard that. We heard it earlier, and most of you have heard it several times before. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you believe that? Now listen. If we don't do anything in our lives on the basis of what we know we just read, what happens? We immediately miscalculate. We leave the Word, and then we forget what kind of a person we were in the Word. And then we become deceived. And we start thinking better of ourselves rather than thinking that we truly are desperately wicked and that it is possible that our heart could be deceitful above all things. But the fact is, that is absolutely true. Several years ago, the late Mike Wallace was recapping the Holocaust of World War II, in which 6 million Jews and 1 million Gentiles were exterminated. And Yahiel Deneur had been sentenced to Auschwitz, and he had been sent there by Rudolf Eichmann. And he was now summoned to stand in court to face Eichmann. And as he lifted his eyes, he looked straight into the eyes of Eichmann, whom he had not seen for 18 years. And suddenly, Deneur started sobbing uncontrollably, and he fainted, fell over on the floor. In interviewing Deneur later, Mike Wallace asked, he said, was it hatred or was it fear? Was it horror, the horror of your memory? And this Jewish concentration victim replied, and I quote, none of that. I was afraid about myself. I saw that I had the capability to do that. This was not some godlike authority in a uniform who sentenced us to Auschwitz. Eichmann was an ordinary man, and I suddenly realized that I was just like him. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And when we see something in the Word, we see exactly what we are. But if we don't do anything about it, then we will leave and we will forget about it. And we will start deceiving ourselves about who we really are. We start listening to the world's view and we start miscalculating. And that's why we have to constantly come back to the Word of God and say, am I doing this? Am I applying this to my life? For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But, verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The word observe in verses 23 and 24 means to just casually glance, to look. And it's a look and a promise. But now in verse 25, the word looks into means to stoop down and look into. It is the very same word that was used when Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. John 20 tells us that Peter and John ran to the empty tomb. Simon Peter went in, and the Bible says he stooped and looked into the tomb. He didn't just glance in and then turn around and walk away. He investigated every nook, every crook, and every cranny. His eyes went over every square inch of that tomb. Literally, the word look in the Greek means this: to stoop to a thing in order to look at it, to look at with head bowed forward, to look into with the body bent, to stoop and to look into. It's actually a word teaching humility and submission. not just looking at the Word of God with our eyesight, we are bowing to the perfect law of liberty. Our attitude when we come to the Word is so key to everything. That is, when we come to the Word, do we say, God, I want to look into your Word, and I want to see exactly what my natural face looks like? All the pimples, all the blotches, all the blemishes? Show me what the problem is so I can change it. Is that your attitude when you come to the Word? Do you humble yourself? Do you stoop over and look closely into the Word of God? Do you allow the Holy Spirit on the spot to use the Word as a mirror to show you where you have failed, so that you, on the spot, while you're still seeing yourself in the mirror, begin to make it right? Because when you get away from it, guess what? The mirror's gone. You forget what you look like, and you go on without changing. There are several purposes for a mirror. One purpose is examination. And that's exactly what the mirror of the Word does. It examines you. Does it ever? You get in front of a mirror, and it will show every wrinkle, shows every blemish. As you look at yourself in a mirror, you examine yourself, and it shows up everything that is there. That's exactly what the Bible does. Listen, the Bible can be a very painful experience. If you truly stoop down and take a good gaze at the Word, it can be a very painful experience. Heard about an African chief who had an ugly daughter. She was the ugliest thing in captivity. But he had told her all of her life how wonderfully beautiful she was. So she thought that she was the most beautiful girl in the world. But she was not. She was ugly. Well, some missionaries came to their tribe, and for the first time in her life, she got hold of a mirror. And she looked in the mirror, and for the first time, she saw herself, and she took that mirror and smashed it into 1,000 pieces. And that's what we want to do with the Bible sometimes, don't we? Absolutely. We're going to say, man, I don't like that. You see, what is your attitude? What is your attitude when you come to the Word? Do you humble yourself and allow it to do a work in your life? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. He's speaking here of the Word of God. One of the common words in the Bible is the word law. It can be the Mosaic Law, it can be the Ten Commandments, or it can be the entire Bible. In fact, in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, the entire word is called the law of God. Now, what is the source of our liberty? It's the Word of God. The Word of God frees us from every bondage. But he who looks into it, and here is the key, and continues in it. Listen, people who just read their Bible weekly, we'll read it weekly. And continues in the perfect law of liberty. The word perfect means complete. There's nothing missing here. There's nothing missing. It is complete. The Word of God is flawless. It's without error. And when we look into it, it liberates us. It sets us free. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. That means that wherever you go, whatever you do, make sure you are continuing or alongside of this book. Whatever decisions you make, make sure that you know that what this book says. James says, whoever bows down, whoever bends down to the Word and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want to be blessed in what you do? Do you want to be blessed of the Lord? Do you want to be blessed with God's stamp of approval on your life? Then bow down to the Word and continue in it. Be a doer of the work, and you will truly be blessed. Verse 25 at the end says, this one will be blessed in what he does. Did you see that? The blessing is not in the hearing. It's wonderful to come and to be able to hear, but the real blessing is not in the hearing. The blessing is in the doing. Watchman Nee, that great Chinese Christian, made a powerful statement. He said, all knowledge is the outgrowth of obedience. Everything else is information. That is, you can believe the truths taught in the Bible, but they will remain just information until you obey it. And once you obey it, then it becomes knowledge. And when it becomes knowledge, then it becomes blessing. The Lord Jesus said, John 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A pastor and a soap manufacturer were walking down the street one day together. And as they walked together, they noticed how wrongly people were treating each other. The streets were filled with corruption. So this soap manufacturer looked at the pastor and he said to him, he said, preacher, that Bible you preach must not be any good at all. It's not helping anyone. I mean, look at all of this filth. Look at all this corruption. Well, the pastor didn't say anything. They just kept walking along. Well, after a while, they came upon some children who were really dirty. I mean, they were nasty. I mean, it looked as though they hadn't taken a bath in months. And the pastor looked at the soap manufacturer, and he said, that soap you make must not be very good. Look how filthy and how dirty these children are. And the soap manufacturer said, but soap doesn't work unless you use it. That's right, said the pastor. Neither does the Bible. And that is James' message to us today. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray.